Innovation and Tech Today exclusive interview.
Hey, Scarlett.
Hi, Paul. How's it going?
Hey, pretty good. How are you?
Good, thanks.
All right. I was going to ask, in one of your most memorable performances, you played the digital assistant Samantha in the film Her. And here in your upcoming film, Ghost in the Shell, you're once again starring as an artificially intelligent character. How did you prepare for this role, and can you cite any specific influences?
Well, I wouldn't say my character is actually an AI character, because she has a human brain.
Mm.
She's sort of like a cyborg, I guess you would say. I didn't have any influences. I guess it'd be sort of an impossible character to be influenced by in some way, because she is, she's a person who is experiencing, well, she's a person and not.
Right, yeah. I know, it's complicated.
It is complicated, but she's experienced, a sort of a loss of identity, and this film is as much about her search for a cyber terrorist as it is about her search for the truth about herself, her own identity, her past, her experiences that have kind of been taken from her.
Nice. I was going to ask, here you are, an empowered female main character in a futuristic police surveillance state where everyone's connected through technology. Dare I ask why now? What drew you to this role, and what do you think makes its themes particularly relevant today?
This kind of oftentimes when we see the future portrayed, it's sort of in this dystopian way, and other times it seems sort of sterile and characterless. This, I think Rupert's idea of the future is one that is a lot more realistic, or at least based in some kind of realism. I think, shows a society that is very much disconnected, by how, as a result of how connected they are.
Right.
And I think, also, of course, you see different characters in the film, people in general, having these sort of cyber enhancements that are meant to make life kind of easier or less feeling, but in a way, some of the characters in this film, certainly my character, and also Pilu's character, Batu, expresses, who is very much human, really expresses this sort of longing for, just everyday life as it was, or as they, as they either remember experiencing it or, have heard tale of. And I think, it seems like a conversation that's sort of echoed in today's,
the discourse, yeah, I was going to say.
I guess it seems like a conversation even I have with friends of mine, how we kind of, yearn for the good old days when you could actually just get on the phone and call somebody and, have to decipher a text message or wait for an email or, what the, as I watch my friends kind of struggle with the, what the appropriate email etiquette is or what.
Yeah, right.
Seems kind of, I think we all sort of, yearn for a time when everything was more to the point and more, just visceral and real, I guess.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, I know it because I send 1,000 emails a day, so I kind of notice that I have a different voice when I'm sending emails, my language is you know, I almost like speak in boilerplate. It's really weird, but yeah, I know what you mean. Like how there's protocols, like, you know, standards that we have to follow in that discourse, and it does seem a little impersonal at times.
Yeah, I think it's just I don't know. I mean, it seems like kind of Rupert's idea of the future is one that has both like beautiful possibilities and also, you know, it's sort of, I guess, a disconnect. But, you know, I really loved Rupert's vision for this project. You know, I mean, when I saw the anime, it seemed like it would be a challenge to kind of, you know, fill it out. I didn't necessarily get from it exactly what this character's, like the full picture of what this character's experience was, and, you know, the script kind of followed the anime, and it was also, you know, more plot-driven. It was hard to get a feel of what the character was, you know, how the character was going to drive this story.
Right.
And, you know, Rupert and I really talked about this story as kind of a coming-of-age story, or sort of a loss of innocence, which I hope comes across in the film. You know, of course, there's plenty of action. The world is explosive, and, you know, it's visually, like, just intoxicating, I think, which is what the audience is expecting.
Mm-hmm.
But probably what they're not expecting, which hopefully takes them by a pleasant surprise, is, you know, that this is really a character-driven story, and it's really the story of, you know, one woman's journey to, you know, to understanding herself and accepting herself.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I watched the anime as well, and, back in the day, you know, it's a very, like, very sophisticated animated film, and it does seem to have, like, that emphasis on character, and more than that, mystery, you know. There's a kind of mystique to that character, and, you know, I noticed that this is some, like, a recurring thing in a lot of your roles. Like, you tend to play, you know, in one of my questions that I sent over, I said that you know, looking at your through your filmography, we see a lot of rebels, misfits, skeptics, and black sheep who are often given power, you know, like Black Widow and your character in Under the Skin, Lucy, and now you're now the Major with this. Is there, like, a conscious attraction between you and this kind of role, do you think?
I don't know. You know, I'm not sure. I haven't really thought about it, I guess. Perhaps subconsciously there is some kind of some sort of connection, I guess, with these characters that are trying to, I don't know, kind of carve a different story for themselves than perhaps is one that's expected of them, or, you know, I'm interested in characters that are curious about themselves, and I think that, you know, it's, I guess, because of that I've often played characters that are on this particular journey of self.
Right. Yeah.
You know, that will probably change as I become, you know, hopefully I'll always stay interested in myself. But I'm
yeah.
They become jaded and, you know, I don't know, bored. But I hope to always, I hope to always play characters that are questioning, that are questioning their own destiny, and characters that kind of that fight against the status quo, I guess.
Mm. Yeah. Why, you know, I know cybersecurity is an important component, you know, here in the film, and it seems that more and more movies, you know, over the last couple of years especially, you know, and of course there's a lot going on topically, you know, you know, regarding this whole thing. But more and more movies are incorporating, you know, cybersecurity as a plot device. Do you think this will continue to be an obsession in cinema as you look to fill more roles? And if so, why?
Well, I think so, because it's topical, like you said, and, you know, it's a good threat. It has a good threat component,
mm-hmm.
to, you know, a powerful threatening component to, you know, any of these stories, right? It's like the total takeover. And, you know, I think as we realize how vulnerable we are, you know, and how dependent we become on, you know, I don't know, whatever you want to call it, cyber intelligence.
Right, right.
Barely like operate a BlackBerry, but, you know, I think we just be kind of, we've sort of suddenly in the past couple of years gone, oh, wait, there's a bad side, there's like a dark side to this. You know, I think as a society kind of been living blissfully, you know, just like just consuming information and, also, you know, giving information and have rarely thought about what the kind of long-term or even short-term consequences are. And, you know, now it's certainly, like, it's really come back. It's a wrath. It's a like a beast, you know, sort of... you know, that it seemingly with no end in sight.
Yeah.
So I think it will continue to be a trend, definitely. And it certainly, you know, it works well for plot device, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a double-edged sword, you know. There are a lot of benefits, and then, of course, you know, a lot of repercussions, a lot of, you know, discussions of the fear of the surveillance state, you know, and everything, which I know, you know, plays into the film there. You know, speaking of, like, technology as a double-edged sword, you know, looking back at your history with acting, you know, there's a lot of variety there. There's also a lot of, like, classic theater experiences as well, like your work with the, you know, in the Tennessee Williams play. I mean, as an actor, you know, you play in a lot of big budget films that employ a lot of CGI, and I know some actors have talked about struggling with that relationship in the past. You know, you'll see clips of them in front of blue screens or whatever, and they're trying to imagine what's in front of them. How would you describe your relationship between your art and the new technologies that kind of help to facilitate it?
I don't think that. You know, it doesn't, acting in a, like, any kind of a CGI environment doesn't really change the process of acting so much. I mean, I wouldn't say it's much different than any other kind of, and it could be any sort of, contemporary theater piece, or even not, some... You know, it depends on how something is staged. I mean, I remember seeing a production of Our Town not that long ago, and mm-hmm. the stage was almost completely bare, just chairs, and that was it. And the whole cast were, you know, just, you know, in that kind of zone. They were experiencing probably a similar thing to how any other actor does in a CGI environment. Like I said, I don't think it's that different.
Mm.
You know, you're making a kind of unbelievable experience seem believable, I guess. And when you're really in it and you're emoting and you're experiencing the character's emotional journey, then it doesn't really matter what's in front of you, I guess. You know, you can either use what's in front of you or not. I mean, perhaps it makes it a little... You'd be surprised how you can kind of surprise yourself, I guess. And I think as I've gotten older, I've been able to suspend disbelief much more easily for some reason. I think because I'm maybe less self-conscious as an actor, and so I can kind of go far in an environment where I may in the past have felt self-conscious or goofy or weird. But it doesn't, you know, it doesn't seem to have so much of a difference, I don't think.
Huh, yeah, I've actually never thought of it that way. That's a good analog, too, with that that our town thing. You know, that is true that you don't have that many resources, really, on the stage as well. That's great.
I mean, you can sometimes, but sometimes you don't.
Yeah.
I remember in that production at the end of the show, when they're cooking the bacon, and all of a sudden they introduce the element of, like, real bacon cooking. And
right.
And you could, like, smell it, and see it, and it was so mystical. It was, like, it was an amazing experience. It was really a success because I think there was, like, the audience did have to go on this journey with the characters of kind of just, you know, letting their imagination, you know, free and trusting the actors to take them where they wanted to go. So when this, like, real element was added, it was, like, pretty powerful.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Well, you know, we were kind of talking about this earlier, but, you know, from your perspective, like, do you feel like all this technology, you know, not in film, but, you know, general, you know, technology that we're using, like, do you feel like it's making us more connected or less?
I think it's both, you know, I mean.
Yeah.
You know, I talk to people that use, I don't have any social media, and I don't really know how to use it, so I'm probably, I guess I have a different perspective because of that, but. You know, I look at people like my mom, who's on Facebook or whatever, and she has had enormous success finding people she probably never, you know, thought she would ever see again and reconnecting with them. And, you know, that element of it is awesome, I think. Personally, if I haven't known somebody as, you know, up until this point, like, I probably... My argument is, like, I don't want to hear from you.
Right, right, yeah.
I don't want to know, you know, really. I'm, like, curious, but, like, not that curious. You know what I mean? I have, like, I guess I'm sort of, like, I keep my close friends pretty close, and, you know, I don't know, that's it. But I think for some people, it's awesome, you know. It's totally... Mm-hmm. Gives them, like, tools to reach out they never could have, or people that share, you know, their life with relatives across the country or in the armed forces, or, you know, I mean, that's part of it, is, like, FaceTime, and that's amazing. How many marriages has that saved?
Right, yeah.
But, you know, in other ways, like, it's sort of, you know, the idea of, like, having... You know, being able to be whoever you want to be and, like, never really having to fail exactly, or, you know, showing whatever parts of your life that you want everybody to see, and, like, you know, this sort of, I don't know, facade of an existence you can have, create for yourself online is I think it's strange. You know, that element of it is very dark to me. People, you know, are disconnected from each other because they're disconnected from themselves and the reality of the life that they're living. That, it can be. I mean, I'm making a huge generalization.
Yeah, yeah.
Part of it is, I think, unhealthy and has a lot of negative effects on people in general, relationships in general.
Yeah, I know for some people it's liberating, but, you know, there is a kind of constant escapism there that can be problematic for a lot of people.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, escapism is definitely important, you know. I'm in the industry that is, I think, most successful at it, and a lot of
right.
reasons, thank God for it. I love to be entertained and to... Gosh, it's great to step into a dark theater and get away for a couple of hours, but, you know, you have to actually be proactive and, like, go to a theater and buy a ticket and sit down and shut off. And, you know, the fact that when you have a device and you're both, like, dealing with real life and fake life at the same time, and, you know, sometimes you can be having a really, really, like, visceral conversation with somebody,
mm-hmm.
important conversation with somebody, on your device, and you can be simultaneously, living this other life, that feels just as real, I guess. It's strange, I think. I don't know. It's a lot for the future generation also to, navigate through. I wonder what will happen.
Yeah, this has been great, Scarlett, and, I hate to finish up what has been, kind of an intriguing and interesting discussion of, technology and film and your new movie, of course, with, a softball question, but it wouldn't feel, it wouldn't be, an interview if it didn't have, I don't know why everyone does that, I don't know why we do that, but I was going to ask, what's your favorite, movie robot of all time?
My favorite movie robot of all time, I would probably have to say the Terminator, I guess.
That's an excellent choice.
Yeah, I gotta go with the Terminator. I don't even think it's a contest.
That's great. So, well, thank you again. This has been great, and, good luck to you, and I look forward to your film.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.